This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Getting up, getting out, or only just getting home? It's Joy Weekend Breakfast.
I'm so excited here on Joy 94.9 because in the house we have got Olympic hopeful, I should say, Australian elite athlete, Heath Thorpe.
Hi, friends.
Welcome back to Joy, Heath.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
See you again, my friend.
It's good to see you all too.
Last time it was on video. You're actually in the flesh, in the person here.
Yes, I'm finally back in town. It's been a while.
Yeah, you were in Belgium last time we spoke to you.
Yeah, I was in Belgium for like 9 months.
Yeah, busy time. But now Indeed. Back home in Victoria.
Mm-hmm, taking a bit of a rest.
Now, before we get on with the fun interview bit, I just want to say congratulations on your personal best.
Thanks.
At the Oceania trials.
Thank you.
Tell us the story, Heath, for people who don't know what's happened in the last 2 months.
Last 2 months. Okay. So, as I said, I was based in Belgium and I had to return for both the Australian Championships and the Oceania Championships, the latter being the Olympic qualifier. Australian Championships went really well. Finished third in the all-around and won my first Australian title in Hyber, which was fun. Long time coming for that one. And then Oceania Championships went really well as well, but unfortunately with how quotas work for Olympics, there's only one individual place available in the entirety of Oceania. So I had a really great day. I, as you said, had a personal best and finished third, but I guess, yeah, being third in Oceania is still not good enough to go to the Olympics.
So that means first of all, who's in Oceania? Is that Australia?
It's pretty much just Australia and New Zealand. Okay. And you have to be selected to be one of the four for each of those countries to then go for the spot.
And there's only one spot.
Yep.
So that's the question I had first off, Heath. Yeah. Is why is there only one male gymnastics spot for Oceania? Do we not get a couple in there?
Not by quota. There's other qualification mechanisms, but gymnastics is so hard to qualify for, as worldwide there's only 96 gymnasts going. So like other sports, you have hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, like swimming, there seems to be, like how many Aussies go swimming?
Yeah, quite a few.
Do Oceania not have a team event then? A men's team?
There is, but you have to be top 12 in the world. And that has to occur at the World Championships. And there was a little bit of controversy around that selection last year. So
yeah.
We didn't even put up a team in the qualification mechanism.
Oh. What was the controversy?
Are
we allowed to talk about that?
Sorry. I just wasn't selected for the World Championships last year.
Why?
Exactly.
Yeah. Robbed.
Yeah, anyway, but yeah, so we didn't try for a team. So then that just reverted to automatic individual quota.
Okay. So well done for coming third.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the big news is the PB.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask the question. I've been watching some of the videos coming through. Do your shoulders not dislocate when you do that thing around the bar? Is it a catch-F when you have to spin around and catch?
It looks
like it's pretty hard on the old arms.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you actually do kind of have to like inlocate and dislocate your shoulders sometimes, but it's through a specific movement that's done safely. But yeah, it's quite extreme.
Folks, if you're playing along at home, Paul's hands were just spinning around like he was whipping up some batter or something. Heath, can you explain the move that Paul's trying to explain?
I guess it would be like if you were to put your hands above your head and hold your fingers together or hands together and then try and get your arms behind your back without letting go.
Like,
yeah. You'd have to be able to like move your shoulders around the socket.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
And my other question was then, why do you reckon you got the best on the high bar? Because you're a bit of an all-rounder.
Mm.
The high bar never seemed to be your favourite piece of equipment. So why do you think you've suddenly excelled in that one particular piece of equipment?
I don't know. I guess it became my hyperfixation in the last few years, but I actually kind of sucked on high bar, as you mentioned. And
I didn't want to say it just wasn't your favorite. Oh, I said
no, I sucked and I was like actually petrified of it. I almost quit so many times because of it. I had to go to sports sci because I was like terrified, and then for some reason I just went down a little bit of a different skill pathway and found some enjoyment in it, and then just like really really liked it and then became good at it.
Well done. Hey, yeah. Outside of gymnastics, yep. I'm noticing on your socials, and maybe I could be wrong again, you're dancing a lot more. You're like, yeah,
very keen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been really fun. I kind of found the ballroom community within Belgium when I first moved over there. I think that's like the really great thing about queer communities. It's a very easy place to relate to one another and in a new country make friends. So yeah, started voguing a bit and then started what we call walking in balls or functions either way. And yeah, they've been really fun.
What do you mean walking?
It's called walking when you like basically enter. So if you compare it to like a competition, it's like you compete.
The last time you had a knockback, shall we say, in terms of selection, you ended up doing some presenting and managed to get some pretty big names. Mm-hmm. So what are you got anything in the works to try and
do
any
more of
that?
Yeah, there's something in the works. So I'll find out more in the next like week or two for confirmation and then you all will see it as well.
Because I think, I'm going to put it out there, but I thought you did an amazing job presenting. But you had access to some of the world's best athletes, or gymnasts, I should say, which gave you the edge on some of those other reporters.
Yeah, I think so. It was just the common ground and prior relationships where the gymnasts felt comfortable to talk to me.
Now, I think it's always interesting because if you are a presenter, you've got a knowledge of different sports and you can ask, you know, questions that are quite specialized. But as a fellow gymnast, like, you know the questions to ask because you've probably done something, you know, identical or very similar at the least, to be able to know, you know, what is the real angle on that question going to be.
Yeah, I think you just have the lived experience, which can't really be taught.
That's it. And probably the behind the scenes or locker room insights that, you know, that Gary has broken up with Barry and...
Yeah, Gary and Barry.
Gary and Barry. But you know what? Like, you've got the goss as well as the technical expertise and lived experience.
And there's not much of that you can say on air, though. Because there's a fine line between knowing what's going on behind
the television,
scenes.
Right?
Yeah. You just have to be ethical.
Oh, yes, of course.
But, yeah, Gary and Barry.
And then why we're dishing the dirt on stuff that happens on and off. Social media is now playing a massive, massive role, you know, both for the athletes, but also for the sports in general. An Australian, let's call him an athlete, who has gone from strength to strength with social media is Sam Fricker. Now, am I right in saying that the other divers all aspire to have the same social media output as Sam? And do you think the gymnast world is you're doing a lot, but do you think the gymnast world is going to follow suit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially within
the... I'm being cheeky about Sam, by the way.
No, I was with him the other week at the Stan launch event for the Games, which was fun. But in the younger generations, those kids are aspiring to have that reach, and not so much for the point of the ego or the platform, but more the opportunities it facilitates with income. As we all know, Australian sport doesn't pay much. So if you can get sponsorships and brand deals that pay the big bucks, then it makes your life a lot easier.
Good morning, Gina, and a big shout out to you. Hope the mines are going well. Speaking of sponsorship in Australian sport. Now, Sam, like on Instagram, Sam's got 123,000 followers, and Heath Thorpe has 150,000-odd followers. It's an incredible reach. Do you, when you, I'm making this up, but like you're on the beach and you're having a great day and you go, take a selfie, put it on socials, do you actually consciously go, what am I trying to achieve? Or is it more about sharing your life?
Yeah, I think so. Everything kind of has a deliberate intent, I'd say, and I'm very mindful of what I'm sharing and how it reflects me, but also what privacy I allow myself. Yeah. So yeah, everything has an intention or an idea behind it, as casual and authentic as I try to be. At the end of the day, it's I'm not going to pull my entire life on there.
No. Okay. So
you have to have some private Heath moments that you don't want to share with the world.
For sure.
I'm going to probably bumble through this question trying to be appropriate, but it's a genuine question.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a photo of you swinging or hanging from the high bar or on the pommel horse, and then there's a photo of you in a swimsuit on the beach. Do you notice the volume of likes?
Oh, yeah.
And the commentary.
I know, like, my demographic.
The objectification.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Does it worry you, or you kind of play to it?
It depends. There's lines that shouldn't be crossed, and when people do, I call it out or I just block them. I understand that it's predominantly gay men following me, so I'm aware.
Capitalize.
Exactly. You got to capitalize on it. Absolutely. Use it to your advantage.
Okay.
I'm very aware.
Thank you. No, I asked the same question with Steve Pennells when he was hosting with us.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of, and he was the same. Like, I know it. Like, so long as it doesn't cross the line or get really putrid or insulting.
For sure.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
So the other thing I was going about social media is it's interesting to see some of the other teams. So I follow some of the people from other parts of the world, and you get there's and we've had this conversation before about the it's a very hetero sport, as in gymnastics, and a lot of the things that the other gymnasts have been doing is like there are strength tests or skill tests where the lads all get together and say, can you do this or can you do that? And you know, it's not necessarily about the skills involved in the sport. It's a very different mindset. Do you see some of that in what you're seeing in some of your fellow contestants?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or competitors.
I guess also each to their own, and whatever makes them happy within the gym and whatever content they want to get, they can get. So I think the main thing is just if athletes are trying to get a social media reach, it's just keep your person, yourself, authentic to the content, whatever that looks like. So for me, it's gay as, but for others, it may be straight as. So
yeah. I love that.
Now, Heath, you're back down in Victoria, local state boy. Tell me about Ronnie, because I saw on your socials there's a new addition to your family.
Yeah, Ronnie is a little Pomeranian. My dad just got him. He's very, very cute and very tiny.
Like super tiny. I mean,
yeah.
Like you fit him in the palm of your hand tiny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how big did they get?
My dad is convinced that he's a toy Pomeranian. I don't believe there's such things as toy Pomeranians. So I think he'll get to the normal size. But yeah.
My dad tricked my mum like that. He said, it's a little dog. It's a little dog. And it got big.
Yeah.
Nanda's got big dogs.
Oh, I do. Oh, good morning, Alfie and Aggie. Big cuddles.
Now, what's next? You're going to go back up to Sydney. Are you still training? Are you still very much in the gym?
I've actually taken the month off, which is the first time since I was like 8 years old. I've had a break longer than maybe a week.
Really?
Yeah. So it's been quite interesting and learning some new things about myself and adapting to it. But I will go back slowly in the next few weeks and build back up.
What have you learned?
That gymnastics like masks a lot of my energy output, obviously, and also my perfectionism. I was like, I'm not a perfectionist, and then I was like, I think gymnastics for it. So a lot of behaviors I pour into gymnastics, and it balances my life out. But when I don't have that outlet, some things creep up. So I'm like, ooh, okay.
The mind finds other ways.
Yeah, that's an incredible reflection.
It's also bloody exhausting. So you haven't got any energy for anything else.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to hang out with yourself and be present.
Yeah, I don't like that. So, yeah.
And are there any, what's the next competitions? Because obviously everyone's going to be focusing on the Olympics, which are taking place at July, August time. Mm-hmm. Is there something to look forward to at the back end of the year?
I mean, there are some competitions available, but I've kind of decided that I'm not going to compete until mid next year. I just want to take about a year to do some skill development and reset and just take a breather before, I guess, another 4 years comes
around.
Are
you going to head back to Belgium?
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm going to head back around mid-August and head back over there for training reasons. So, yeah.
Wow. And get back to the sunshine. You're going to do double summers, won't you?
Yeah, but I'm going to be catching the end of it. And even now, it doesn't look like very nice in Belgium. So, yeah.
I think get all the bad weather out of the way in the first part of summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and then you'll get the back end, which will be gorgeous.
I'd hope so, yeah.
Sorted.
Congratulations again on the PB for Thanks Oceana's so commiserations. Everything happens for a reason.
Sure does.
And it's a learning experience. We think you're an amazing, amazing, talented athlete.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming in. Thanks for seeing us.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Maybe we'll talk to you next time when you're back over in Belgium.
Alrighty. Sounds good to me.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Heath Thorpe, Olympic gymnast here at Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.